Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. During Advent this year, I'll be preaching using a devotional called God is in the Manger. This is an arrangement of the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and some other contemporary writers. And if you decide to pick up that devotional from whatever bookseller you can find it, I think we linked the PCUSA church store, but it's available elsewhere. If you decide to do that, you can follow me through the four different weeks by reading and praying along with me during the week. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor and a theologian who became concerned about the increasing amount of power amassed by Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. The devotional's editor, named John Rice, tells us, just 2 days after Adolf Hitler had seized control of Germany in 1933, Bonhoeffer delivered a radio sermon in which he criticized the new regime and warned Germans that the Führer concept was dangerous and wrong. Leaders of offices which set themselves up as gods mock God, his address concluded. But Germany never got to hear those final statements because Bonhoeffer's microphone had been switched off mid-transmission. This began a 12-year struggle against Nazism in Germany, with Bonhoeffer running afoul of the authorities and being arrested in 1943. Well, Bonhoeffer languished in prison, even as he continued to court his fiancée through letters, and I think he got a once-a-month visit from her. He continued to bring encouragement to other prisoners as well while he was in prison, and his time there exemplified what it meant to be a follower of Christ, because he was bearing witness to Christ even as the future of his own life was uncertain. And in fact, he was sadly, tragically, executed by the Nazis on April 8th, 1945, or shortly before, rather. Even as his journey was a tragic one, it was also an inspirational one, and we'll learn that as we read some of his commentary. He had this willingness to enter into the sufferings of Christ. He spoke these prophetic words calling the secular state power to humble itself before the power of God. Faith and his devotion to Christ are some of the other themes that you'll see if you decide to pray through the devotional this season. Well, today, you know, we don't face the same kind of danger that Bonhoeffer faced while he was in prison, and yet our society today is showing up very differently. We're in something of a holding pattern, and many of us feel constricted or fearful about the future for many different reasons. This Advent, for most of us, this Christmas, probably is not going to feel real typical. So I'm wondering, and I was thinking through as I selected this devotional, what can Bonhoeffer teach us about moving through Advent when life is not showing up the way that we want it to show up? He says this about Advent in one place. He says, the Advent season is a season of waiting, but our whole life is an Advent season. That is, a season of waiting for the last Advent, for the time when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. I thought that was a rich perspective, that all of life is Advent, anticipating what is to come. So Advent is an annual practice that represents sort of a larger arc in life, that we're always anticipating, we're always looking toward something, we're always yearning for fulfillment. And part of this practice is to learn the art of waiting. I bet you weren't happy that I said that. Because Americans hate waiting in general. I hate waiting. I want everything now. Have you ever felt a sigh rise up in you when you get ready to check out in the store and you turn that corner and you see that line, that long line behind the cashier? Have you ever felt this sort of sigh? We have checkout stores now that you can self-checkout, and I think part of that is that we can take matters in our own hands there, and we can check out when we want at the speed that we want. We have fast food so that we don't have to sit down in a restaurant and consume time cooking at home. And God forbid that we should ever have to wait in the car when we're supposed to be going 70 miles an hour. We don't want to be going 5 miles an hour or 0 miles an hour. Northern Virginia and DC has a whole system of roads that you can drive. They're really luxury roads because you pay to drive on them. You pay a fee so that you don't have to slow down. I mean, that's the extent to which we as a society do not like to wait. And yet here's reality. Life involves a lot of waiting. We wait to get better when we're ill. We wait when there's a shipping delay because there's a snowstorm. We wait for test results. We wait for society to return to normal when there's a pandemic. Here's a question. Who are you, or who do you become when you have to wait? Many of us, myself included, are not at our best. And yet, waiting can be a process of growth, too. Bonhoeffer says this, "Whoever does not know the austere blessedness of waiting, those who do not know how it feels to struggle anxiously with the deepest questions of life, of their life, and to patiently look forward with anticipation until the truth is revealed, they cannot even dream of the splendor of the moment in which clarity is finally illuminated for them." He reminds us that waiting is about looking forward to something that is better, that we're on our way to something. As you wait this Advent, what do you look forward to? And here's a thought. What could you be co-creating with God such that life will be better on the other side of the waiting? One of the things we can do, and the psalmist helps us with this, is to remember that during the wait, God is our refuge. God is with us. God is here. In verse 8 of Psalm 62, the psalmist writes, "Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us." And now, more than ever, is a time to renew our trust in God, to find our center in Christ. Eleanor Turnbull, I came across this anecdote, this story. Eleanor Turnbull is a veteran missionary to Haiti, and she collected and translated the prayers of the Christians who lived in the mountains of Haiti. Now, they are waiting for deliverance, probably in many ways deliverance from poverty, possibly deliverance from starvation and disease. I don't know exactly. That's all very common in Haiti, though. These profound and childlike prayers are recorded in the book God is No Stranger. Here are four of the prayers that are recorded there. "Lord, don't let us put our load of trouble in a basket on our head. Help us put them on Jesus's head. Then we won't have headaches." Very practical prayer. "Lord, in Christ, we are a grain of corn in a clear bottle. Satan comes like a chicken and pecks for the corn, but he never reaches it. Lord, all my life, I have been just a weed. I became a flower. I am young, and I want to grow and be cultivated so I can become more beautiful. Lord, how glad we are that we don't hold you. You hold us." Beautiful prayers. We remember as we pray that God is our refuge, and we can enact that and feel that as we pray that God is our refuge. Also, as the psalmist says in verse 5 of this psalm, that our hope is in him. Our hope is in God. Now, I was thinking about hope. One of the ways we can practice hope, we can make it more powerful, is to practice our way into God's future for us. That makes hope more powerful. The hope is in him. But our hope doesn't replace human doing. That's because God is not a wizard. God doesn't do magic tricks. God doesn't erase what is and just sort of overwrite it like you overwrite a hard drive. The hope is that as we practice, the hope isn't that God just sort of waves a magic wand. The hope is that as we practice our various vocations as followers of Christ in the world, that God enables a path for success and victory. Does that make sense? The hope is not that God does it for us. The hope is that God makes a way for us to practice and enables there to be a path for victory. So, given that, What are your hope practices for Advent? For what are you hoping? And what are you willing to co-create with God? And how will you practice stepping in to that future that's been placed into your heart, into your soul? How will you practice it? And might you pray for God to make a way for you to be successful? Sometimes, you know, it takes time to answer questions like that. They're deep questions, and they're not instant microwavable kinds of problems or tasks, things that we can just sort of check off in a moment. Sometimes we might start off in a new direction of something that God has placed within us, a new endeavor, maybe even a new hobby, and perhaps we don't succeed at first. Maybe we're going to start chipping away at a vision that God has placed in our minds. It's important to realize that this is also a part of the waiting, that sometimes we have to start over again. Sometimes we have to chip away at it a little bit at a time. We are actually waiting to succeed, but that doesn't mean that we can't succeed. I came across another account of an illustrator, apparently one of the most famous in the world, named R.O. Bleckman. And in a recent book called Dear James, Letters to a Young Illustrator, he shares a series of letters that he wrote to a younger fellow illustrator. One of them goes like this. Preliminary drawings and sketchings are often discouraging things, pale shadows of one's bold intentions. Seemingly nonsense, they are especially dispiriting for beginners. Is that what I did? The novice asks. And I consider myself an artist? Speaking for myself, but also for other illustrators, I'm sure, my trash basket is full of false starts and failed drawings. There should be a museum of failed art. It would exhibit all the terrible art that would have ended up in trash bins and garbage cans, lost and unknown to the public. That's the process of waiting for something that you're chipping away at to finally be revealed as a beautiful sculpture. When you co-create with God this Advent, I hope that you might remember that waiting is woven into the fabric. But it's not a wasteful waiting, and we don't have to be impatient, because every step of the way, we are learning. And as we are learning, we are being blessed. And as we are being blessed, we are blessing, being prepared to bless the world. So whatever you do, don't be discouraged to start over as you are practicing your way into a hopeful future. Don't be afraid to try and try again. The prophets, when you think about it, waited for the Messiah for hundreds of years. Your wait to see what God is bringing forth from inside you as you're practicing your way into a hopeful future, it may take some time. But our hope is that God makes our paths clear so that we are birthing something that succeeds amidst the waiting, the working, the striving in life. The beauty of Advent is that God is with us the entire time. In closing, Bonhoeffer tells us this. God is in the manger, wealth in poverty, light in darkness, succor in abandonment. No evil can befall us. Whatever men may do to us, they cannot but serve the God who has secretly revealed his love and rules the world and our lives. Let us pray to the God in the manger. Lord God, we find ourselves in time of waiting. Not just because it is Advent, but because our world has changed over the last several months. We long for your will for history to be revealed. Not the will of any politician or health official or public personality or secular movement or party or preacher. It is your will that we seek, God. We wait upon you, and as we wait, may we seek fulfillment in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, in the name of the God in the manger, we pray. Amen.